Shall we pray?
In those scripture readings, you have seen a snapshot of the life of Jesus. You want to pray this morning and commit yourself into his hands. You want to pray that as you've come to church this morning, as you've joined online, as you're watching this later, that you will hear God speak to you. For I'm only a vessel, but the words are from him. Just pray and commit yourself into God's hands. In Jesus' name, Father. I pray I commit myself into your hands. I pray that you will speak through me, O God, if you need to speak this morning. We may come to church, but our minds are so full and occupied by worries and concerns, but this morning you want to lay it all at the feet of the cross. You want to empty yourself of any worry, any burdens that you're carrying, and allow him to speak to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. We give you praise. We're so blessed, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. He is the reason why we have salvation. He is the reason why we have life. We have eternal life. And we thank you this morning. We commit ourselves into your hands. We commit our hearts. We ask that your word will fall on fertile grounds and that they will germinate and yield a hundredfold to the glory of your name. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I know that it's a bit cold, so you have to warm yourself up. But the good thing is that you're likely to not fall asleep because, thank God for that. You have to find the silver lining in every situation. It's always a privilege and an honor to speak to God's people who've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. And so I'm grateful for that. I do not take this lightly at all. So this morning, as part of our Bible series, I've been asked to speak, as Gareth has already mentioned, about the Messiah and love. I mean, he is the hero of everything, of our faith. He is the firstborn. He is our salvation. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It's all about him. He is the center of our lives. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on and on about Jesus, but it's all about Jesus. Amen. And it's important that we realize that. And in case you're wondering, what does the Messiah mean? Messiah simply means the anointed one. So when we say Jesus the Messiah, it means Jesus the anointed one. It's the same as Jesus Christ. So it's not simply a first name and a surname. But when we say Jesus Christ or Jesus the Messiah, we mean Jesus the anointed one. And he was anointed to come on earth. We'll go through some of the things that he did. And you heard from those scripture readings that God sent Jesus as part of a demonstration of his love. God is love. And he loves us so much that he sent Christ to die for us. And so this morning we'll be talking about that. And in case you're wondering, but who is Christ? If you've been in church long enough, you would know that he is the Son of God. But perhaps if you're hearing about him for the first time, we have what we call the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the Son of God. And the reason why God sent him, we'll be unpacking that as we go through the message. God demonstrated his love by sending Jesus to take upon us the punishment of our sin so that we'll be reconciled to God. And one of the popular scriptures that we know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, it's whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Some versions say have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I want to pick on a few key words. For God so loved the world. God loved the world, and that's why he gave his son Jesus. When you love, you give. It is possible to give without loving, but it's not possible to love without giving. When you love, you give. It just comes naturally. And because of the love that God has for us, he gave us his son Jesus, that whosoever, and remember that whosoever means whosoever. It doesn't limit anybody based on any qualities. You don't need any qualifications. You don't need any special descriptions. You don't need to have any financial standing, any titles. It's everybody and anybody. It is open to whosoever. And all you have to do is to believe. Okay? Don't think you have to, you know, pay something. Or we say this, people come into church, people accept Christ, and after that they're trying to earn their salvation by works. But it's only when you believe in Christ. And that's what God is saying to us in his word. Whosoever believes will not perish. We will not have the punishment of sin, but we will enjoy everlasting life. We'll enjoy eternal life. And I believe that this is not only referring to, you know, eternal life as in when we go to heaven, but eternal life must start from here. Once you believe in Jesus, it is the beginning of eternal life. And so we should not live a life of defeat. We cannot come into God, we cannot receive salvation and still live a life of defeat, because eternal life has been given to us. And so we cannot live a life that looks so sad, a life that is so, it's like, yeah, life of defeat. I think that's the best word I can think about. We are living an eternal life because Christ has paid the price. And it is wrong to still try and pay something that has been paid for. It is wrong for us to still carry the debts of sin when the price has been paid, and it has been paid in full. Because Christ came on earth to die for us. All we have to do is to believe and confess. It's not just a case of sitting in church. You see, sitting in a place, sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian. And so if you're watching us online, you join us later on, you're in the room, and you've been coming to church probably since you were born, but you haven't made that decision, you haven't prayed that prayer and invited Christ in your life, you have not yet been a Christian. It is really important that you search your heart, and there'll be an opportunity at the end to pray that prayer. You know, just sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian. If you just go and sit in the garage, it doesn't make you a car. So you need to take a step. I'm not sure how you can turn into a car, but that's another thing. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God came on earth as a human being. And I don't know if you've actually thought about it, but as I started thinking about it, I couldn't get my head around it. The inconvenience of God, this is the God who created the whole universe, becoming a child. It's not just the pain that he suffered on the cross. It's not just the inconvenience of being crucified. That's another thing. But he became a child. He was in somebody's womb, in Mary's womb. And Mary didn't just become pregnant overnight. So that child was very tiny, went through all those processes, growing, until he was born. And when he was born, he didn't just jump and start talking. No, he had to go through the process. He had to be a tiny baby, crying, waiting to be fed, hungry. And this is the God who created the whole universe. I'm sure even as a baby, he could have just jumped up and, you know, made a meal for himself, toasted something. But he had to wait to be fed. He had to wait for his mother to feed him. When he was, you know, dirty, he sold his nappy or whatever system they were using at the time. He had to wait to be changed. And as I thought about it, I was like, wow, how? How did God put himself in that position? Just because of the love that he has for you and the love he has for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I pray this morning that you will catch a glimpse of that love. Because if you do, it is impossible for you to remain defeated. It is impossible for you to live in anxiety, to live in worry, to be depressed, when you have a revelation of this love of God that made him inconvenience himself and come on earth as a baby, put himself in this situation just because of you. There's this program that they show sometimes. I've forgotten what the title is, but you get these CEOs and top bosses becoming like they disguise themselves like one of the employees. And, you know, they just are in there, they do some cleaning, they do everything with everyone, and then in the end, they'll reveal themselves and who they are. These people do that for a short period. I'm sure it's very inconvenient in being the top boss to be cleaning and doing these things. I remember years ago when I was in school, I was doing some part-time work. I had to do some care work, and we did training. And what they were saying was that in order for us to understand how these elderly people that will be looking after them feel, we need to try and put ourselves in their shoes. So when we're doing hoist training, they made us all, you know, you hoist somebody and then you yourself get hoisted so that you see how it feels like. So that when you go into somebody's room, you don't just go there, put a sling around and start hoisting them. No. You need to talk to them. Let them know what's happening. And it was quite scary, you know, being hoisted and, you know, you're just going up there and then somebody transfers you. So if you don't know what is happening, it's very, very disturbing. And even with that short experience, I was able to feel empathy for, you know, the older people that we're looking after. And what God did is nothing compared to that. To come on earth as a human being, he had to go through the process. He realized that, look, all the things that happened in the Old Testament were a shadow. But he had to go through the process, be a child, go through it. At the age of 12, he made an appearance. But after that, he carried on till he was 30 years old. Before he started his ministry. What an inconvenience. Even at that wedding, when his mother said they don't have any wine. Well, she was just stating a fact. But she was saying, what has that got to do with me? Jesus put himself in that position because of us. And I don't know what process you are going through. I don't know what process you're going through. Sometimes we want to go through things very quickly. We want shortcuts. You see, it's easy to acquire knowledge. You can read, you can, you know, whatever your style of learning is, watch videos, listen to audios. But you have to go through things to be able to experience it. You can't gain experience through knowledge. There are some things you can learn, but you need to experience them. What process are you going through? It might not be pleasant. You might be feeling the pain, but I tell you, it's for a reason and it's for a season. It's for a purpose. And when the fullness of time comes, you will understand it. You might feel like you're going through, you might feel like a woman in labor, and sometimes you feel those contractions. But just as you're told to work with a midwife, work with God. When he tells you to push, push. And when he tells you to wait, just wait. Because as you keep going through that process, joy is going to come very soon. It might not feel pleasant right now. Everybody has a story and everybody has a process they are going through, but it's only for a short time. Or you might feel yourself that you are that child being born, that you're going through that birth canal and you're feeling a lot of things pushing against you. But I tell you that very soon there will be light at the end of that maternal tunnel. Hallelujah. There will be light at the end of that tunnel. So allow yourself to go through that process. And know that in the end, there's going to be victory at the end. That God is birthing something through you. God is developing you for something that is ahead. And when the time comes, know that you have been prepared for such a time as this. You know, some things come before us. It may be an opportunity at work or a course or something or even at church. And you think, oh, I can't do this. No, God knew about it right when you were born. He knew that that day was coming. He knew that that opportunity was coming. That promotion was coming. And so he's been preparing you. And that is why we need to go through some of the processes which are not pleasant. But it's because something is being birthed in us. God went through that process. Jesus went through it. He was there at the beginning of creation. John 1:1-4 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Some versions say did not extinguish it or did not put it out. If you don't understand what that comprehend mean. Jesus is the light. He was there right at the beginning. And verse 14 of John 1 continues to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Whenever you're going through a difficult time, remember this, that the God who was at the beginning of creation, the God who was the Word, who became flesh, dwelt among us, so that when you go to him and say, oh, I'm so tired, he knows what you're talking about. When you say, God, I'm so hungry, I don't know what this is about. Oh, I'm so frustrated at work. Oh, this boss, this colleague of mine, oh, this child, he's gone through it. He had siblings. He's experienced that before because he walked on this earth. And so he knows what you're going through. He lived on earth and was able to live a sinless life. He died, but he did not stay dead. He resurrected, and we know that Christ is risen. And because of that, we have that resurrection power available unto us. The tomb is empty. It's not only Easter time that we need to remember this. Christ is risen. He is risen. He is alive. Amen. Remember that your God is alive. And so you have to walk with that boldness. You have to walk in that confidence that you do not worship a God who is made by the hands of men. You worship a God who is alive, a God who's also walked in your shoes, and he understands your pain, your frustrations, your anger, all the emotions that you feel. He understands it because he's walked in those shoes. That is the God that we serve. And so we have to live a life of victory. When he came on earth, he gave us his mission statement in Luke 4, 18 to 19. He says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Anybody feeling a bit poor? It may not be financially poor, but whichever form of poverty, Jesus came to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. And so this morning I pray that whatever bondage anybody is in, that they will be released by the power of Jesus. He came to set the captives free. And so you cannot stay in bondage. No. Bondage to fear. Some people are afraid even when they're going to bed. Sometimes their kids say, oh, I had bad dreams, I'm afraid. No. Christ has set us free. And so we have to live in that freedom. We have to live in that liberty. That is what he came to do. That the blind will see. May our eyes be opened. Physical eyes and spiritual eyes. That we will see what the truth of his word is. We will catch a revelation of his love. That the oppressed will be set free. And that the time of the Lord's favor has come. The time of God's favor has come. And we are his chosen one. We are the favored of the Lord. Wherever you are, you need to believe that because you are favored, doors will open for you. Wherever you are, you need to learn to stamp your feet and take authority of that place and say, I am the favored of the Lord. I am the head and not the tail. Because God is on my side, doors are going to open to me. Yes, we need to have that confidence. Sometimes I go through certain situation at work and I'm thinking, no, I refuse this. There has to be a way out. You know, sometimes my team may be frustrated. I said, no, don't worry. It's not because I don't care, but I know that there will be a way. But one of these, just a few days ago, I called my friend and I was so excited. I was like, what is it? Tell me the good news. What is the good news? Because she could tell in my voice that I was excited. I was singing. I'd been praising and shouting in my car. It's good. You can shout. Nobody hears you. I'm sure people might see you, but yeah, I don't really mind. And then she said, what's the good news? I said, the good news is that I am so excited in anticipation of what God is going to do, because I could feel that there is a door that is about to open. I can feel doors opening because the God that I serve is able to make a way where there seemed to be no way. And it's not because I had any particular testimony, but we don't have to wait for the manifestation of the testimony before we start praising God. What is faith about then? Faith is not about waiting to see. It is a you are sure of something that you haven't yet seen. You are expecting something. You haven't yet seen it, but you are sure of that thing. That is what faith is about. And so you praise God, not because you're feeling very strong. You may have joints and aches all over, but you are still praising God. Yes, I may have some pain in my knee, but I still praise you, God, because I know that you have healed me. That is what it's about. Amen. Christ has come to set the oppressed free. He's come to proclaim release for those who are in captivity. And so we cannot remain in bondage. We need to rise up. We need to rise up and let people know the God that we serve. So that just as they say that the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, that they will be able to say the God of Molly, the God of Rob, the God of Marian. Amen. Let people be able to testify that, wow, your God is a living God. But if we are as sad as the unbelievers, then what difference is there? Messiah, the anointed one, he came to die for us. For God so loved the world that he gave. 1 Peter 2:23 to 24 says, he did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Some people, we just have to carry them and just leave them in the hands of God. I heard a man of God just say, carry your problems and leave in the hands of God, or bring at the altar and somebody carry the wife and was going to lay there. That's not what I'm talking about. Your husband or your wife is not the problem. Whoever is troubling you, just leave them. Not physically carry them, but just put them in God's hands. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Amen. Some version says you were healed. Some say you have been healed. But the Bible scholars here can tell me, are there any versions that say you are going to be healed, or you are about to be healed, or you might be healed someday? It's either past or present, meaning that it's already done, because Christ died, he rose, he's risen. The tomb is empty, and so we are healed. Whatever we experience it in our body, it's only temporary. We need to remind our body and sometimes speak to it and tell it to get in check. Look, you already healed, so begin to behave yourself, body. Yeah, you need to speak to it. Headache, you are gone. You know, sometimes the children come to me and they say they are not well. I'm like, let's pray. We pray. Say, is it God? I said, no, I'm still feeling it. It's still there. I said, no, you are healed. We just have to give it time. Sometimes you need to give it time for it to manifest. But we have already been healed. On the cross, he carried all our sicknesses. He knew, I believe even at that time, he knew about coronavirus. He knew that was going to come. Yes. All infectious diseases, all types of strains, every disease, Christ carried it on the cross. So we have already been healed. We just need to pray and believe what the word of God says and pray for a manifestation of that healing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. All of this is a demonstration of God's love. And so we cannot just continue living ordinary lives. We have to live extraordinary lives. We have to live supernatural lives, because there's so much power available unto us. It's not just when we come to church, but as we walk about our home, when we're trying to solve problems at work, when we're trying to do things at the university, in our colleges, we need to let the power of God be alive in those places. Romans 8:38-39, and I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love, can separate us from God's life, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons. Those of you who are afraid of demons, even they cannot separate you from the love of God. Neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. What is your worry? What are you thinking about? What is it that keeps you up at night? The love of God is greater than that thing. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God's love is revealed in Christ. And I pray that we will experience that love fully. I pray that I will experience that love fully, because I don't think I have experienced it fully. I don't think I understand, because if I do, then I won't have any worries. I won't have any concern. You say, yeah, but it's human. You are human. Yes, you are human, but you are also a spiritual being. You have been bought with a price. And so when your natural sense tries to come in, don't allow worry. Because if I'm worrying, then it means I do not believe in the power of God. I do not believe that God can do it. But if I know that God can handle the situation and I have a full revelation of his love and the price that he paid for my salvation, then I'll just leave it to him. People might think, oh, is she all right? Is she a little bit? Yeah, let them say whatever they say. But it's because of the confidence that you have in your God. I pray that we'll experience this love, even to another level. You may know it, but we need to grow in it. You know, when babies are born, we expect them to grow. If you have a five-year-old who is crawling, they haven't walked yet, they're still drinking milk, I'm sure you'll be a bit concerned. Some of us have been in the Lord for a few years. Are we growing in our knowledge of God? Are we growing in a revelation of the love of God? Let's make time. Spend time in God's presence so that we can grow. We can know him more. So that he can transform our life. Because it is not possible to encounter this love and remain the same. Because God's love brings about transformation. We're going to watch a video about a man who encountered Christ. Christ's love, and his life was transformed. Let's watch this.
I lost my own dad when I was 8 years old. In quite serious circumstances. He was murdered. Throughout my early teens and 20s, that affected my behavior. I got into all sorts of trouble, a lot of trouble. I was quite an angry kid. Quite a violent kid, and you know, I didn't really sort of talk. I would, you know, my fist did more talking than my mouth. And then I met Jenny, who is my lovely wife, and I met her dad for the first time when I was about 29 years old. And he was a bedrock in terms of my spiritual development. He was somebody who listened to me intently, took me seriously. And that spiritual element that he brought changed my life, changed my outlook, changed everything. You know, I actually was one of the pallbearers at his funeral. That was probably one of the hardest days of my life. The sense of loss I felt was quite profound. I didn't realize it would affect me that badly, but it did. When I finally sort of accepted Jesus into my life and starting to go through the Bible, it was just mind blown by some of the truths in it, or some of the claims that were made, some of the things that the way God described himself. And I'm like, well, so you did all that for me. Your son died for me. Didn't make any sense to me. Why would you die for me? You know, you see the state of my life, you know? And at the time, you know, there was, you know, alcohol, all the rest. It was all there. It was all the things that you could possibly do to run yourself off the road. But God came in and through his word, which was just massive, just started to really start to put stuff together. When I finally realized that God is my father, that it changed everything. It changed how I focused. It changed how I saw situations because I knew I wasn't alone. Sometimes in this world, you go through things and you think you're on your own. You could be in a whole room full of people and feel like you're on your own, but you realize that God's your father. So at no point are you alone. And that was a game changer. That's the most profound truth I can say after what maybe 20 years as a Christian coming up. He's with me.
God is with us, and the power of God can bring transformation into our lives. God's love is so high, it's so deep, it's so wide. This morning, I hope I've been able to stir up some hunger in you to want more of God, to want more of that love. and to realize that whatever we're asking for, we already have it. We just have to receive it by faith. We just have to accept the love that he's expressed for us. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You've not seen it, but you have the evidence of it. This morning, I want to remind us that Romans 5:8 says that, but God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us whilst we were sinners, but we don't have to remain sinners after he's died and redeemed us. If you are watching me online, if you are in the room, you're joining later, and you haven't ever said this prayer to invite him into your life, I'm going to say it and you can say it with me. If you've been in church, you've said it years ago, but you feel that you need to renew your commitment, then just start talking to your father. Start talking to him. You know him already. Start talking to him and ask him to help you. Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner. I need and want your forgiveness. I accept your death as the penalty for my sin, and recognize that your mercy and grace is a gift you offer to me because of your great love, not based on anything I have done. Cleanse me and make me your child. By faith, I receive you into my heart as the Son of God and as Savior and Lord of my life. From now on, help me live for you, with you in control, in your precious name. Amen. If you pray that prayer, you have received Christ into your heart, and you will live a life of victory. God bless you. Amen.